You are listening
to Radio
Free Cybertron.
Let's save the day in a big way.
This week on a long-awaited return of Radio Free Cybertron, Mop Boy returns to review everyone's favorite hero, Rescue Roy. And Anthony Anselmo gives his 2 cents on the Robots in Disguise phenomenon. And nothing. You belong to me, now. And now, for your listening pleasure, and despite Brian Kilby's better judgment, I present your very temporary host, Mop Boy.
Hello everyone, it's Mop Boy here. Being that Brian couldn't come to the show the next 2 weeks, and me being his right-hand man, I'll be taking over the show for the next 2 weeks to give him a break. He'll be back soon afterwards. Now, I've got a few things lined up for you today, just a couple. I wasn't able to get very much material today. So enjoy what we've got, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us. Information's on our webpage, www.tfradio.com. So, everyone, enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Greetings and salutations, trans fans. This is your friendly neighborhood Mop Boy with a special review of the new Rescue Roy 123 Transformer from Tonka. Rescue Roy is a Hasbro toy released on a new line called 123 Transformers, made for children ages 3 and up. Rescue Roy is a robot that transforms into a red fire engine, with 2 huge wheels in his midsection, 2 ladders with a water cannon on each one. In robot mode, the 2 rescue ladders becomes his arms and hands, and his head pops out of his cab. I'm actually rather impressed with Roy, even though he seems to be a very, 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 very simplified version of G1 Optimus Prime crossed over with Fire Convoy, aka Robots in Disguise Optimus Prime. As simple as his transformation is, he was definitely not made as cheaply as McDonald's Transformers toy. He looks as keen in robot mode as he does in fire engine mode, and has great poseability. He has 3 buttons located on him that allows him to talk and make sound effects. For example, in fire engine mode, press the button located behind the top of the cab, and Roy makes various siren and honky noises until he finally says,
"This is Rescue Roy! Let's go to robot mode!"
In robot mode, push the button located on his back, and wings will emerge as Roy shouts,
"Let's take to the air!"
Slide over the switch on his shoulder that pops up his head, and he says various phrases like,
"When danger calls, I answer with action."
And,
"Let's save the day in a big way."
And,
"You're the real hero, partner."
All in all, Roy's an excellent toy, and,
"We'll blast the red stuff with the wet stuff."
Thanks, Roy. Now, as I was saying,
"Chief, prepare the water cannons."
"Not now, Roy."
"We're a tough 2-man team.
Well, it seems that Roy can be a bit more talkative than some would like. That's why he comes with a nice little off switch right on his crotch. There. Now, about the other 123 Transformers being planned.
"Let's save the day.
Damn it.
In a big way. Prepare the water cannons. We'll blast the red stuff with the wet stuff. This is Rescue Roy."
Okay, now,
make it stop!
That's it, I'm out of here. This is your friendly neighborhood Mop Boy saying,
"We'll blast the red stuff with the wet stuff."
Coming this fall is a story of breathtaking proportions. From the geniuses of Anthony's photo, an all-new, never-before-seen cinematic experience. Prepare to meet the Zapbox.
Copyright, all rights reserved, patent pending.
Thrill as the transforming robots battle for the supremacy of the home world of Cyber... Gyrodron. Gasp as the heroic Zap City of Metro... Duplex is laid to waste with such epic characters as Boaty, Flyer, and Thing with Four Wheels. You can't go wrong. With a stunning musical accompaniment by the Omega Dupremes, you're sure to be rocking to the sockin'. Not since the Norse sagas has there been a story so original, so passionate, and so downright appealing to the plagiarist in all of us. The Zapbox movie, A Search for Purpose. See it this fall before Hasbro does. The Zapbox!
Copyright. All rights reserved. Patent pending.
Folks, this is Shortstop with Zapbot coming in this week with the annual review of Robots in Disguise. Now, what this show is going to be, or at least this segment is going to be about, is I'm going to try and give a little bit of insight on what's going on with the current status of the Transformers lines, what's currently going on in the world of the Transformers. One of the things that's very big right now, of course, if you haven't been living under a rock for about the past 12 months, the Robots in Disguise series, which is basically brought over series of car robot from Japan. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the Generation 1 series, it's pretty much the same type of, it's a traditional animation. What this one was basically in Japan, this was a totally brand new cartoon in what would be an alternate Transformers universe based around the same idea for the Transformers and whatnot. This one dealing with not only vehicles changing into robots and whatnot, but also characters set up as animals changing into robots. So this was originally established in Japan about a year ago and has traditional characteristics of Japanimation. And what Hasbro decided to do was bring this over to the States and redub it with American voices and whatnot and put it back on the air and advertising quite a lot under the name Transformers. Because according to what the rumors are, Hasbro isn't doing so great right now and they didn't really have the effort or the money to put into a new show and a new series. So they brought this over here and decided to rename all the characters, the appropriate characters, from the Generation 1 series and basically promote it as if Transformers Generation 1 was back again. Now, for those of you who haven't been keeping up with the Beast Wars and the Beast Machine series and wondering what's going on with that, basically Beast Wars and Beast Machines, it's quite a long saga. In fact, the whole 5 years of both shows was basically a very long epic saga, which was very well done. There, a lot of people, especially a lot of the fans of the Generation 1, have complaints about Beast Wars and Beast Machines because, first of all, it's computer animation. Second of all, it can be very cheesy at times. But once you sit down and you take a look at the entire series from Season 1 of Beast Wars all the way to Season 2 of Beast Machines, it's a long epic of basically a bunch of Transformers trying to get their way home. And it's set in, like, the future, like way off in the future Transformer era, and then of course they travel back in time to prehistoric Earth for Beast Wars, Beast Machines is put back in their proper time and setting because at this time they developed what's called Transwarp technology. Anyhow, it basically plays off a lot of the original concepts from the original Generation 1 series. And they actually have a couple crossovers, and once a couple episodes, Ravage is rebuilt and brought in for a cameo appearance. So it very closely matches the original series, and they even took the effort to try and fix some of the common questions. So they took their effort to try and fix a lot of problems they had with the original series. Now, basically what happened is that Beast Wars was three seasons, and they did a whole storyline and then sort of stopped it there but left room for growth. And then Beast Machines took it for two more seasons and basically came to a conclusion. So basically the conclusion, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is Cybertron became this half-organic, half-metallic planet, and that was the whole basis of the show of Beast Machines. Now, that itself has become a big thing of trivial between generation fans, because a lot of people are like, Transformers was always about robots. It wasn't about, you know, plants and stuff. So a lot of people thought that was kind of lame, but needless to say, Beast Machines tried to take Transformers into a darker era, and the animation was fantastic and computer generation wise. So whether you like how the series evolved or whatnot, you have to give them credit for actually trying to make it a decent plot with decent characters, animation, and then bringing it to a conclusion. Now, what's going to happen on from there? We don't know. Basically, what's happening now in the series is people are realizing, or at least Hasbro is realizing, that the individuals who grew up with Generation 1 are now, you know, out of college and working. And they have money, which they want to spend on either buying the old toys that they loved or, you know, buying the Transformer the Movie DVD, which went gold when released. So basically, with this mentality, Hasbro has decided to bring over this show from Japan, which basically is very much, very closely, almost related to the Generation 1, more so than the Beast Wars and the Beast Machine series, and bring it, you know, back as saying, oh, Generation 1 is back one now. However, this is not Generation 1 at all. In fact, it stems very closely in terms of, like, you have the typical scene transition. So it's very much like that in nature. However, the original series in Japan, Car Robot, the characters' names were not Optimus Prime and Megatron. It was a parallel universe, which was a totally different area, not relating to anything that Beast Wars or Beast Machines even did or Generation 1 did. This is totally separate. Sort of like what the comic books were to the cartoon show. It was a whole different idea. And it is a different idea because basically the Autobots are integrated so well in the American society that no one notices them. And of course Megatron comes to Earth and he's a Predacon this time and tries to, you know, of course take over the world, you know, and because God forbid they can't find energy anywhere else, they have to come bother the humans. So, of course, the Autobots start revealing themselves, and you'll see the first couple episodes is pretty much just introducing, here's this character, here's this character, you know, here's this group, and whatnot. And they renamed everything to be consistent with the original Generation 1 series, which is a little bit debatable because not only if you're not really into the internet, which there are some people that still aren't, you're not going to know what's going on. You're going to be like, why is Prime a fire engine? And why is Megatron a monster? When a poorly conceived monster, but that's debatable as well. So there's going to be a lot of questions for Generation 1 fans. The people who grew up with, or the individuals, kids these days that grew up with Beast Wars, Beast Machines, they're not really familiar with Generation 1 because Generation 1 hasn't been syndicated yet. And if somebody brought that back, you know, that would be fantastic. But needless to say, this new series here how does it stack up compared to the other series? Well, in terms of animation, this falls right between the Generation 1 animation and I would say Beast Wars. It's better than Generation 1 because typical Japanimation at least is consistent with the colors and whatnot. But it's not as good as computer animation. It's very static in some shots. And the best example I can give to you is that Prime's mouth does not move. He just sort of talks and it's a still shot. And any sort of mouth moving is very much two-frame animation. However, when they get into action sequences and they're done talking, it's actually quite well done and quite fluid. So, in terms of that aspect, it's a little bit better than what we saw in Generation 1. However, it's not up to par with what we were used to in the Beast Machines and the Beast Wars. Now, in terms of plot, I can tell you right now that this is slowly starting to grow on me. I really didn't like it at first. And that's probably because the debate there is that, of course, we were kids and we didn't realize how the Generation 1 stories had giant plot holes in them. And they did. But they were at least somewhat decent in that they were at least being creative in the ideas of what the artists and the writers were trying to do. The plots in this one can be range from extremely silly and just downright gay. I mean, just they're bad. I mean, you literally have to wonder who wrote these. You know, a 3-year-old kid, or you know, a person who's actually supposed to be writing the show, which is, you know, an adult that understands the needs of kids. They range from extremely silly to about somewhat halfway decent. The plots aren't exactly going to win like a Shakespearean award. And a lot of it is basically what you see with Pokemon and any of the newer TV kid shows you see on TV. It's attention to deficit disorder TV. It's basically done so fast it doesn't leave you any room to breathe or any room to let the kid's mind wander, because, of course, if you don't have kids these days, and you'll realize that they just can't stand still for a minute. So in that aspect, it's very fast-paced, and it's very, can be extremely cheesy at times. At the same time, too, you'll notice that it's very much trying to be very comical at times. You'll notice that there's a lot of jokes that are trying to be done. It's supposed to be lighthearted. And from going from Beast Machines, which is very dark, or even if you're coming from Generation 1, it's almost a little bit too funny. It's like almost trying to be an insult to the whole idea. Now, granted, the whole big debate was, you know, of course, Generation 1 was on, and robots always just got bruised with lasers. You never saw anybody get hurt. Then the movie comes along, basically all of our favorite characters just got killed. Now, this one gets a little bit ridiculous in the fact that nobody even gets hit with lasers. I mean, to give you an example, X-Brawn, which is no relationship to the Generation 1 Brawn, goes up, jumps through a building, goes all the way to the top to get a better shot at one of the Predacons, shoots a variety of lasers, and misses. And this seems to be the case with a lot of stuff. They just continually cannot seem to hit anybody. Now, that along the side with the plot hole that, you know, they're advanced robots and they seem to be thinking like, you know, little kids, it's quite debatable. Once again, this is a kid's show, and we have to question if, you know, us being older fans are trying to take this too seriously and expecting this to be a Star Trek episode. Now, in terms of that, what can we say? It's a kid show. But there are some cute moments, which I have to give them. The best one was at the beginning of the first episode. Basically, X-Brong is driving along with a lady in the compartment. But basically, he says, "Sorry, ma'am, you're going to have to take a cab," and ejects her from the cab. And that was actually quite funny. However, there's another scene where, you know, Skybite, who's supposed to be, you know, evil, is basically being blasted by Megatron because Megatron can't quite tell Skybite from a distance. That is along the lines of being just a little bit too lame, and you'll see that a lot of this has been extremely dumbed down for, once again, attention deficit kids. So, is it a good thing that it's back on the air, or that this be promoted as like Generation 1 type? Yes. However, I would have liked to see them probably use different names and then sort of disgrace the Optimus Prime and Megatron name. I mean, I think we could have done better with, you know, a new group that's, considering this is a parallel universe, we could have done a lot better just having them name different things. So in that aspect, I think it's good that they're trying to bring it back. I just wish they would have used different names, because to me it's a disgrace to the original Generation 1 characters if you're going to have characters that are going to be this dumb and lame. That being said, the only other problem with this, of course, is that when you bring over any Japanimation, you have to redub everything in American voices. And dubbing in American voices, usually they try and match. It's not like traditional animation where you have the voices first and then you have the people trying to match the animation to the voices. It's reversal. It's the other way around. You have the voices and they're trying to match that to the animation. Now, normally this would be done extremely well, and the best example, if you've ever seen the movie Princess Anunoke, that's a perfect example of doing very decent American dubbing to match to the Japanimation. Here, you really don't need to match that, because most of the talking is done with two frames if there's any sort of voice. So my complaint here is that the voice actors are extremely bad. And part of the reason why Generation 1 was so well received is that the voices were actually somewhat decent. The voice actors were phenomenal. And I know that you can't go and get, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but he did basically Fred from Scooby-Doo and Megatron and Galvatron. Fred Walker. He's very famous. He's done a lot of voice work, and I kind of wish a lot of the Disney movies would not have to use, like, famous actors for voices these days. They would use, you know, some people who are actually good voice actors. I think that's a problem where we have to always get these famous people to do voice actors. But Robots in Disguise is just really bad sometimes. Now, it's starting to grow on me. At least they're bringing in new characters with different voices. But a lot of these voices are just not even... they're Pokemon style. And for a show that could have been something that could be taken very seriously, this just lacks that seriousness. And it lacks it because the voice actors are just bad. And sometimes there's some decent lines and whatnot. Prime's voice is somewhat decent. Prime's voice I can take. Megatron is just, he is not scary at all. I'm sorry. And the original Megatron was just downright scary. The one from the Beast Machines episodes and the Beast Wars, he could be scary at times, and he could also be chauvinistic. It's like we don't want to scare our kids anymore, which is a whole nother big debate in itself. So I kind of wish that this could have had better voice actors for it instead of what's currently there. Otherwise, if you enjoy the transformations, the animation's actually somewhat halfway decent. And it's not like I'm going to be taping this and storing these for future for it being, you know, called classic. But, you know, if you come home early or you're waking up early on Saturday, it's not a halfway decent show to just sit down and watch. And if anything, there's some funny bits, which will probably be a great way to incorporate into a parody sometime in the future. So, how do the toys match up? Well, I can tell you right now I currently have X-Brawn, Ultra Magnus, Skybite, and the three Predacons. I can't remember their names right now. The toys are actually, at least the vehicles, are actually phenomenal. If you haven't been following the toy line, you know, a lot of people have complained, well, they don't do die-cast metal anymore and rubber wheels, and it's all cheap plastic. Well, the toys have advanced a lot. They are extremely detailed. The transformations are extremely complex, almost requiring you to follow the directions and spend 15 minutes to figure out how to transform them sometimes, which can sometimes be annoying. But the transformations and the toys are just wonderful. I mean, if you were a fan of the original show and the original toys, you're just going to love some of the vehicles. I have X-Brawn right here on my desk. He's my favorite because not only does he look great in robot mode, but he's a great vehicle, and he's very realistic. I mean, and the transformations, you know, typically in the older days, transformations were just pretty much swing this, turn this over, and there you go. These actually require a little bit more effort. A lot of times there's hidden compartments you need to move around in order for other things to come out, and in that case, this, like X-Brawn, his one arm is like the front of the car. His other arm is like completely different. And you saw that a lot with the Beast Wars, where they would have maybe the head of the animal on their one arm and something else as their other arm, like maybe the tail, which just made them like extremely original in design. So the design of the toys, at least the vehicles, is pretty good. The Predacons of the animals, it ranges. Of course, when you get down to the smaller ones, like Gas Skunk and the guys that come in the smaller vehicles, it's pretty much just, you know, basic stuff and whatnot. So it's nothing that's going to be extremely complex. And they seem to be using, they do have like rubber wheels. They have, you'll notice that the vehicles not only have rubber wheels, but it's also a very strong plastic. So it's a lot better than what we saw in the Generation 2 re-releases. But you'll notice that on the small ones, they're pretty much made, if you can't get the transformation, the arms will just fall off and you can just put them back on. So once again, the smaller ones are not really up to par with the rest of the ones, but Ultramagnus, I have Ultramagnus and X-Brawn, and they're just fun things. Ultramagnus is a little bit picky because he splits into two, but at least it's not like, okay, transform this, put on this hand, put on this hand, put on this hand. No, you just transform the parts and you put them together again, and there you go. You don't have to do any more of this extra stuff. So the toys for at least the series are extremely well done. I recommend you at least pick up X-Brawn because he is just amazingly done, and I'm very impressed with who's designing the toys these days. So that's my review for now, and hopefully I'll be involved with Brian Kilby and doing a lot more stuff coming to Radio Cybertron Radio Cafe. Poor Brian, his father passed away recently, so my sympathy for him. So that's my review for the week, folks, and I hope to see you again very soon. And once again, I want to dedicate this last moment to the heartfelt people who are experiencing just the greatest loss ever possible. I think, if anything, America is probably going through probably the toughest times it ever could right now, but at the same time, it's becoming one of the most strongest, powerful, caring nations in the world right now. So if you are able to give blood, and I say that because not everyone is able to, please go give blood just to help out. And at the same time, if you're interested in a little bit of comedy, please visit www.zapbots.com. That's ZAPBOTS. Basically, this is my project I've been working on for the last couple years. And basically, it's a parody of Transformers and done in the South Park style animation. So please go check that out and give me some feedback. And I hope to see you guys soon. This is Shortstop the Zapbot off of the Cybertron Radio Network.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Thank you for listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Rescue Roy One, signing off.